Killer Innovations Podcast for Sunday, January 22nd, 2006, show number 43, coming to you from Cupertino, California. Welcome to this week's Killer Innovations Podcast. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. Before we get started, please keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are mine and mine alone, and do not necessarily reflect those of my past, current, or future employers. Well, as many of you probably realized, there was no show last week for the Killer Innovations Podcast. I was in New York making some appearances and giving some speeches, but was notified late Thursday night that I had a sudden death in my family. So I had to leave New York to take care of some family situations and have been offline. I posted, albeit a little bit late, an update to the killerinnovations.com website that there would be no show last week. So, and a number of you have sent me emails in support and condolences, and I do truly appreciate the support from the listener community. Got a lot of emails over the last couple of weeks just on the show with suggestions and etc. I really do appreciate you taking the time out and sending me emails with feedback and suggestions. Please keep them coming. If you want to get a hold of me, best way is by email. Send the email to podcast@killerinnovations.com. Or you can always Skype me at Phil_McKinney. Or you can also leave feedback on the voicemail feedback line at 703-636-4460. Also, thanks for all the votes up at Podcast Alley. If you haven't voted, go ahead and vote. And as I've always keep reminding you, voting up on Podcast Alley is the easiest way for you to say thanks to all of your favorite podcasts, as a way just to say, hey, really do appreciate the support and the effort and the work that goes into producing these podcasts. Also, if you haven't been up to iTunes lately, iTunes has opened up a section where you can actually leave feedback comments on each of the shows that you're listening to. And I hadn't really even noticed that they had made the change up on iTunes, but I was out there the other day looking and noticed that one of the listeners from the show had actually posted a comment up on iTunes, and I do appreciate that also. So feel free to visit iTunes and leave your comments there also. Let's see. I'm in California. I'm in Cupertino. For those of you who are longtime listeners know that I've taken a new job or a new position in the company that I'm in for my day-to-day job. And it looks like that job is going to require a relocation. So it looks like sometime in the fall, I will be moving from the East Coast back into Silicon Valley. I lived here in the Valley through the 80s, through the great early years of like the Macintosh of 1984 and the surgence of Intel and Microsoft back in the early days. So I'm coming back to the Valley. So so in the meantime, I will be spending most of my time here in Silicon Valley in the Cupertino area. So so this trip, I'm actually going to be in California through February 3rd. So if there are listeners here in the Bay Area who want to maybe get together for dinner or drinks, feel free to drop me an email. And then my next public appearance will be at the 3GSM conference in Barcelona, Spain. And that is February 13th and 14th are the days that I will be in Barcelona. So if anybody is going to be at the 3GSM show and would like to get together, again, drop me an email at the podcast@killerinnovations.com. And then we can coordinate schedules and hopefully get together. So this week's show is going to be a little bit shorter than normal because, again, I've been offline for an extended period of time dealing with my family situation. So I'm only going to have two segments in this week's show, but hopefully it'll be of value and worth your time listening to this. This last week, actually it was Friday night, I was asked by my company, the company I work for, to fill in for some executives at what in an event called the CTO Summit. It's a group of about 50 to 75 chief technology officers, primarily here in the Silicon Valley area. And I was asked to participate on a panel. Now, I'm going to pull out my piece of paper here because I'm never going to remember everybody's name. But some of the panel members, for instance, were like David Allen, who's the former CTO at Visa, John Connors, who's the former CIO and the former CFO at Microsoft, Tom Molloy, who's the Senior VP, Chief Software Architect at Adobe, Wim Rollins, who's the Chairman and CEO of Xilinx. And the most interesting and one of the reasons I got really excited, albeit, you know, this is a great panel of people to be sitting on a panel with, but what was really exciting was is the person who was basically chairing the panel was Gary Hamel. Now, I haven't talked a lot about Gary or Gary's books, but after spending the evening with Gary, you're going to hear more about his books. He's actually working on a new book, but Gary's the author of Leading the Revolution. And if you haven't read that book, it's clearly one that you should read. But Gary was the one who was actually facilitating this this panel. And the panel was really talking about innovation and what are the two or three trends emerging on a worldwide basis, and for and giving each of the people on the panel an opportunity to respond, etc. Innovation, you know, was clearly the thrust and the theme, and everybody talked about it. And I'm not going to go through all the comments that either I made or other people on the panel made, but what I really found interesting was what Gary said. For about the first 30 minutes, Gary kind of put the tone to this session. And this thing went on for like 3 hours. So it wasn't a short little, you know, 30-minute panel. This thing went on for like 3 hours, the discussion with the panel and with the audience. And during the 3 hours, you know, a lot of topics were covered. But again, what I found that, you know, in fact, all of us on the panel were listening to Gary kind of take the first 30 minutes. And we were all pulling paper out and scribbling as fast as we can. And one of the complaints I gave Gary afterwards was is that he talked way too fast because I couldn't write down everything he was saying. And it was just one of those real light bulb situations when you're sitting there listening to somebody who obviously gets it, who clearly has a unique insight and a unique perspective, and you're furiously scribbling notes trying to keep up. So what I want to talk about here in segment one really is about this concept that Gary talked about in the session on Friday, which was management model innovations. Now, Gary started off by talking about, you know, we're all kind of fairly familiar with the standard levels of innovation. You know, first one being technology innovations, what I would refer to as the R or research side of R&D. Important, and actually one of the comments that did come out of the summit was kind of a dissatisfaction with corporate research organizations backing off from doing R-level research, meaning really heavy core fundamental science research. I mean, you have kind of the you know, AT&T Bell Labs going away or de-emphasizing, you know, fundamental research, everything going much more towards applied research. The U.S. government backing off from its funding of fundamental research, you know, those kinds of things. So there was a lot of discussion with regards to, you know, the technology, the fundamental R. Next, Gary talked about product or services innovation, and I would refer to this as kind of the D or the development, turning R into D and actually delivering implementations of products and services around products or services as standalone offerings to your customers. It's kind of being on that D side, the development side. Then third is around the business model innovations. This is kind of the end thing. If you think about iTunes, it's really wasn't around technology because there were MP3 players that already existed. There were already songs that existed. But what Apple did was really create a business model innovation about creating the entire ecosystem and that entire experience for the customer and changing the fundamental economic model of the industry, the music industry, and the device industry. Now, Gary says, these are all the ones that we all spend, 100% of our time when we start thinking about innovations, whether that's technology innovation, product slash services innovation, or business model innovations. And what Gary pointed out was, though, is that there's a fundamental innovation that nobody focuses in on, but when you look back on the impact on the economy, it is the one that's had the by far the largest impact to date. And that is management model innovations. Gary went off and did an article study, Harvard Business Review, Business Week, etc., and looked at articles that talked about innovation and then categorized them based on whether it was about technology or product or business model innovation. And you can kind of think of it as, ones you would easily predict. A lot of articles. I think it was like 6,000 or 10,000 articles over a fairly short time frame on technology innovation. Less, but not that much less in the product and services innovation. Even less on business model innovations. And when you look at management model innovations, it was down to like 4 articles. So you went from like 10,000 articles on technology innovation down to like 4 articles on management model innovations. Now, what does Gary mean by management model? Well, the examples that he cited in his notes was if you go back and you look at some of the leading companies, leading brands that got established, what allowed them to grow and be established the way they were? Well, the one example he used was General Electric. Now, GE, as many of you know, is the resulting company of the work from Thomas Edison and all of Thomas Edison's companies being rolled into GE. And Gary's position is that GE was basically the first company that knew how to leverage a lab's kind of functionality to generate innovations that became the basis of a company. Now, I would argue, though, that with management model innovation, you also can't stick with a single model and bear it through forever. So in the case of GE, as we know, with Welch coming on board years ago and basically putting in, management methodologies, Six Sigma, those kinds of things. But the basis being is that GE started off based on the results of Thomas Edison's work at Menlo Park and his fundamental process of constantly generating innovations and ideas that resulted in either entire companies or fed into the company, becoming the fundamental management model at GE. Another example that Gary gave was Procter and Gamble. Procter and Gamble created a management model that allowed them to create huge brand value around commodity items, toothpaste, toilet paper, etc. The third example that Gary gave was Toyota. Toyota started off focusing not on the product, but on the whole process of manufacturing, how to do continuous improvement, how to create a management model that empowered the people on the manufacturing assembly line to literally hit a button, stop the process in order to fix a problem. And therefore created a culture of quality that constantly then fed into where Toyota then was able to compete head to head with Detroit, and eventually Toyota being able to overtake Detroit and actually build better cars than what the local manufacturers here in the US could manufacture. The other example that Gary used was Google. When you think about Google, there's a lot of companies out there that were doing search engines and search engine innovations. And you could argue that there's probably lots of researchers out there who are coming up with new approaches to how you do search. But really, what's the competitive advantage for Google? For Google, it is really around this management model. Google has created a culture whereby it's this continuous move towards delivering and testing and experimenting with new technologies, whether that's video Google, Frugal, doing comparative shopping, Google desktop bar. Google is constantly generating these new ideas, this new experimentation, and the fact that Google doesn't think about themselves as only being in search. Google, they've created a culture whereby Google is a framework that has the flexibility and the willingness to get into a variety of different areas based on one, the technologies that they're able to develop and the needs that they see that the marketplace has for that. So if you think about Google and Google Search, why would they get into video? The whole concept of putting ads into Google and using that has become the revenue model. Google was the first ones that really figured out how to make that to where it's acceptable to the user and acceptable to the buyers of advertising. So again, the whole concept that Gary was trying to push upon here is that you can create very distinct competitive advantage when you look at your management model. The components of the management model are things like culture. What is the culture that you've instilled in your organization? It could be how you organize. What's the hierarchy of your business? Who reports to who? How do you define functions across that organization? Etc. And it could be also from a standpoint of management model of how are decisions made? Do decisions always have to bubble up to the top of the organization, or how do you empower your people to make the decision, etc. So when you think about competitive advantage, it's not always about innovation around technology or products or services or business model, but think about management models. And to be quite honest, all of us on the panel, and this was a topic at dinner afterwards, the light bulb went off because we never think about management structures within organizations as being truly a unique competitive advantage and an area that you can really bring creativity and innovation to really create a unique position in the marketplace. But with Gary highlighting this point, and you kind of sit back and you think about, the GEs, the Procter and Gambles, the Toyotas, the Googles, the resurgence of Apple. And you can think about a whole variety of companies on a worldwide basis. It really came down to really this management model innovation that became really the basis that allowed a company to take advantage of the other kinds of innovations that allowed them to be wildly successful. Moving on to segment two, this week's killer questions. I'm going to steal these from Gary also. During the session on Friday, Gary Hamill talked about, he gets involved with a lot of companies looking at the new innovations or new products, new concepts that are being developed. And what he tries to do is he tries to categorize the work that he's doing with companies based on whether it's an incremental or whether it's truly a breakthrough, or in my case, I would refer to as a killer innovation. And so listen to these three questions, and then we'll go into this a little bit more detail. So, and these are the three questions that Gary asks any entrepreneur that tries to come in front of him from the standpoint of getting his help or his advice about taking a breakthrough idea forward in the marketplace. So, question number one: will this innovation change the customer expectation? Question number two: will this innovation change the relationship with competitors? Question three: will this innovation change the industry economics? So again, will this innovation change the customer expectation? Two: will this innovation change the relationship with competitors? And three: will this innovation change the industry economics? So what did he mean by customer expectations? Well, If you're going to deliver the exact same thing that the customer can get from somebody else, then you really haven't changed the expectation. You haven't created that wow factor of having that surprise, the ability to have that impact on the customer where you solved a problem in such a way that they can't get satisfied today, and it fundamentally changes what their expectation is. Again, going back to Apple, perfect example, where, you know, yeah, we had MP3s and you could drag files on and you could do your organization by folders. But soon as iTunes came out and the iPod came out and the expectation on how easy it is, Apple reset the expectations in the marketplace such that anybody else coming into the market has got to be parity or better than the overall iPod iTunes experience. It isn't just about the design of the iPod, but it's that overall experience. And Apple fundamentally changed the customer expectations. And that truly allowed it to create that new competitive position. The second question, will this innovation change the relationship with competitors? Well, in this case, if you go back to Apple, the point here, though, is can I fundamentally change my position in the competitive landscape? You know, am I just parity, or have I created something so fundamentally new that I can leapfrog and put myself in a completely different competitive position than what I was in the past? You know, Apple launched into an area where it didn't even compete in the form of MP3s, but established itself quickly as being the new market leader and changed the entire competitive landscape. So it changed Apple's position against its competitors. Third, will this innovation change the industry economics? Well, you could argue with Apple that clearly has been the case. You know, before, Apple didn't have a play either in the device space, but also it created an entire ecosystem of revenue and Apple's position in order to play in that revenue, the 99-cent song download, all of those component pieces allow Apple to fundamentally change the entire economics of the record industry and the online services experience and the end device that allows the consumer to experience the music, in this case, and now videos. So again, this was a situation where Gary shared these three questions and everybody in the panel's light bulbs went off. And you know, for me, you know, my wife now accuses me being a collector of questions. You know, my little notepads, my notebooks that I carry with me all the time, trying to find those really creative, really insightful questions. And so here are three fundamental questions that you should be able to, in your hip pocket, when you're looking at your own ideas or people are presenting you ideas or ranking your ideas from the standpoint of the impact. The three questions that Gary has proposed are, will this innovation change the customer expectation? One. Two, will this innovation change the relationship with competitors? And three, will this innovation change the industry economics? If you can answer yes to all three, then you truly do have that killer innovation. And with that, thanks for listening. We're going to wrap this up. Keep in mind that we're coming up on show number 50. I've sent you, or at least in previous podcasts, I've mentioned this in the past. I'm going to do something special on for show 50. And it looks like right now I'm actually going to turn show number 50, over to you, the listeners. So send me your audio feedback. Send me your audio files. And I'm going to put those together. And we're going to do an entire show based on audio feedback. So please take the time, 2 minutes. If you don't have the mechanisms to create an MP3 file on your PC or you don't know how, whatever, then just pick up the phone and call the voicemail feedback line, 703-636-4460. You can leave an audio feedback, it gets saved as an MP3 file, and it gets mailed to me. And then I will put all of the feedbacks together into one show, And actually, I've just listened to one that came in today where one listener is proposing to you, all of the listeners, about how do we collectively come together and run brainstorming sessions to create, come up with an idea to help society. You know, one around children, one around education, etc. So there's things that are not only comments about the show, but actually giving you the podium to talk to the listeners of the podcast. So keep that in mind. You know, we're going to be let's see what we were at. We're at show 43 this week, so we got seven more shows up to 50. So give me your audio feedback, and I'm going to turn show 50 over to you, the listeners, for you to be able to talk to the other listeners, give feedback on the show, talk about what you're doing, whatever it is you want to talk about. That's what show 50 will be. Okay. Let's see what else. Please continue to send me the feedback. Email is podcast@killerinnovations.com. Feedback line again, 703-636-4460, or you can Skype me at Phil_McKinney. Also, a number of you and the listeners have found me in LinkedIn. If you're not familiar with LinkedIn, it's kind of a social network service site. Primarily, you know, it allows you to build connections with people that you used to work with at previous companies, etc. I get a lot of requests for connections in LinkedIn, okay? And 99% of them I do not accept. But if you are a listener of the podcast, I'm more than willing to link in with you. However, what I ask is in the invite request on LinkedIn, tell me that you're a listener of the podcast. If you're a listener of the podcast, I'll connect. You'll connect to my network. You can see who's in my network of people on LinkedIn. And therefore then if, you know, I can be helpful in, you know, making introductions or whatever, that's fine. But you have to let me know in the invitation via LinkedIn that you're a listener of the podcast. Okay, and then I'll accept that invitation. So some of you may have sent me LinkedIn requests in the past, and you may not have heard from me, or you may have got a reject. It's simply because I get hundreds of these requests a month, and I just can't connect in. I'm not going to blindly connect with people that I don't know. But if you're a listener, let me know, and we can connect on via the LinkedIn. Please keep the feedback coming. Please join in on the discussion on the KI community site. If you don't know how to get there, go visit killerinnovations.com. And in the series of buttons on the right-hand side, you'll see one that's red and white that'll say KI community. Click on that button and go join in on the conversations over there. I've noticed the conversation discussions have slowed down here after the first of the year. So let's not let it die off here. Let's get the discussion going again. I'll be posting up some new stuff here hopefully this week once I get through the remaining things on my schedule. Please tell others about the Killer Innovations podcast. I continue to run into people who are listeners. We're continuing to see growth in the listener base. But again, feel free to tell others, forward links, cross-link to our site. That would be great. And then don't forget, I'm in California through February 3rd. So if you're in the area and you want to get together, drop me an email. And then my next appearance speech will be at 3GSM in Barcelona, Spain. And that is February 13th and 14th. And with that, we'll talk to you next week. Really do appreciate you listening, and have a great week. Be creative, be innovative, create that next killer innovation. Bye-bye.